Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Harper, head basketball analyst of Tide Illustrated of the Rivals Network. You can find me on Twitter at HarperNation24, where I cover all things Alabama basketball year-round. And this is going to be an NCAA Tournament Edition podcast episode. So they had the Selection Sunday this afternoon, and to be quite honest with you, the committee was all over the place in terms of seeding, the teams that made it, the teams that didn't. Now, there weren't many surprises on the teams that didn't make it, but the teams that did barely squeak in, a couple of them you thought that they were pretty safe in the tournament, and it turned out that they weren't. We'll kind of get into those teams here in a minute when I kind of go over some of the teams that I thought were misseeded. The teams that I thought were snubbed from the tournament, which there are a couple, and which teams got the toughest draw and who had the easiest path. So I'm going to go over my whole bracket with you. I'm picking them in live time as I record this. I haven't sat down and done the bracket yet. I know this, you know, what the bracket looked like when it came out. Have not sat down to do it yet or even look at it. So I'm going to be making these picks with you while you listen to this episode. So buckle in. It's going to be a wild ride. I have no idea what to expect going through some of these matchups. But first and foremost, I'm going to go over Alabama's matchup. Alabama was the number 4 seed in the West bracket, and they're matched up with the 13-seeded Charleston Cougars of the CAA. Now, Charleston finished 27-7. They haven't lost since February. To when they lost to UNC Wilmington. And they lost to UNC Wilmington twice, as well as Towson in conference. But Charleston is a very disciplined team, well coached. They play a fun style, which is going to be basically a mirroring image of what Alabama likes to play. They like to get up and down. They like to score quick. They like to shoot a lot of threes. They don't defend very well. Just kind of looking at Charleston's KenPom ratings, which is what I look at when I go make all my picks in the tournament every single year. They're 58th in adjusted offense and 176th in adjusted defense. For reference, Alabama's 3rd in adjusted offense and 112th in adjusted defense. And their adjusted tempo is 59, where Alabama's is 9. So you see, even though that they are a smaller conference mid-major, Their KenPom ratings are really, really solid on the offensive end nationally. They're number 98 overall in KenPom. So this is going to be a very interesting test for Alabama. And I feel like they got a good drawing Charleston in this matchup. Just because Charleston doesn't defend, they're not very long, they're not athletic. So Alabama's going to be able to get their own offensively. So it's going to come down to, can Alabama, you know, string together multiple stops to where they can kind of stretch a lead and not relinquish it the rest of the game. Alabama opened up as a 10.5 point favorite over Charleston. It's down to 9.5 right now. The over-under is set at 171, which is not surprising. And I would pound the over on that just because, like Alabama facing Florida. Now, Florida is so much longer, more athletic, defends the rim, defends the perimeter, a lot better than Charleston. Even then, Alabama and Florida always crack 200 points over under every single meeting. So I really think Alabama and Charleston will score a lot of points. I could see it being an Alabama win of 95-82, 101, close to 90 points for Charleston. It would not surprise me if it got that high in this game. It's going to be a fun game to watch. It'll probably be one of maybe a trendy upset pick just based off of how Alabama's been playing the last 5 games, losing 3 of their last 5 coming into the tournament. And Charleston is on a long win streak since mid-February. And I wouldn't blame people for picking it. It's a fun matchup, and Charleston's a fun team. Me personally, I feel like Alabama's more athletic, They're quicker. They're better shooting the ball overall. And the defensive makeup isn't there for Alabama, but it's there better than Charleston's is. Charleston has no makeup as a defensive team whatsoever, especially when they play a team that's as athletic as Alabama is. And Charleston hasn't faced a team anywhere close to how talented Alabama is all season long. No disrespect to the CAA, but they don't hold a candle to, you know, the bottom half of the SEC. So the most talented team that Charleston's faced is Florida Atlantic way back in December, where they lost 90-74 on the road. And outside of that, it's been Liberty. They played Duquesne the second game of the year. They lost that 90-72. They ended up winning their conference championship. Vermont won their conference championship. They lost to Vermont as well at home. So it's going to be a tough test for Charleston to be able to match the athleticism and the speed that Alabama's going to pose to them. So let's kind of look at some of the statistics that Charleston has overall. You know, they average 80 points a game. So that's a very healthy amount, still 10 points less than Alabama per game. They shoot 34.5% from three, 72% from the line, and 44% overall from the field. Kind of comparatively speaking, Alabama shot 36.5% from three, so 2-point percentage better there. Alabama shot 78% from the line, so a 6% edge there as well, and 47.7% from the field, which is a 3-point percentage there. So they edge them out in pretty much every category across the board. They're tied in rebounds at 39, assists per game. They're right there together, 15.7. And then steals and blocks, Alabama averages more on each of those. So individually speaking, you know, Rainey Smith, 12.5 points a game. You know, they have a couple big forwards, Ben Burnham and Antti Brzozovic. They each average 11 and 12 respectively. So they got a couple big guys that can score pretty well. Overall, it's a pretty balanced team. They have six guys averaging 8 points or more. And they rotate roughly about eight guys per game consistently. So it's not a really deep team either. You know, Antti is 6'10". You got Ben Burnham that's 6'7", who can be a fun player to watch as well. But overall, Rainey Smith, 6'2", 190-pound junior, and he's probably their best overall scorer. Just kind of looking at some of his previous games against Stony Brook. In the championship, he had 23 points in overtime or overall in a game that went to overtime. Had 32 against Campbell, 21 against Hofstra, and 16 against Towson. So he can put up a lot of points. So he's obviously going to be one guy that Alabama's going to need to game plan for. He shoots over 39% from three, and he's pretty much a 3-point specialist. So you got him. You got Antti that doesn't shoot the three very well, but he's kind of their big inside threat kid from Croatia. And then Ben Burnham from South Carolina, he's a 3-point threat as well, shooting 37%, averaging 11.7 points per game. But none of these guys are very athletic. They do play very disciplined ball, very well coached, and they like to play fast, which is going to play into Alabama's hands. And I heard Jay Billis today on the Bracketology show on ESPN talk about this game and basically say that Charleston likes to play the way Alabama plays. Alabama just plays that way better. And that's just a great way of putting it. I feel like both are pretty much equals in terms of playing the same style. It's going to be a great offensive clinic of the five-out offense, which is what both teams like to play. So they're going to be able to scout against it really, really easy by just playing their own game. And it's not going to be a tough study for either team. what's going to be tough, and more importantly for Charleston, is being able to match the speed and athleticism that Alabama is going to have around the perimeter. Even for guys like Grant Nelson, they don't have anybody that's going to be able to play scout that's going to be as good as Grant Nelson, or anybody that's as athletic as Nick Pringle. So that's going to be really the struggle, is going to be in the front court of where they're going to be able to match the speed, the versatility, and athleticism of Alabama. Jaren Stevenson as well, 6'11" kid that can step out and shoot the three, even though he hadn't been playing well. There's just nobody on Charleston that can match that or can mimic that in practice. Then you got speedy guards like Mark Sears and Aaron Estrada. While they're not really foot quick, they're really quick in deciding on what they're going to do and attacking the rim. That's another area that's going to be to Alabama's advantage, is Charleston doesn't have any rim protectors. Nobody outside of James Scott, who only plays 16 minutes a game, averages a block a game. Everybody else is half a block or less, which is a sight for sore eyes for Alabama fans to be able to watch, not to watch Florida, a team like Florida, to have three big guys that can really defend the rim. So Alabama should be able to get whatever they want offensively. It's going to be a matter of making shots and getting stops, to where I think Alabama will. And I think it's going to be a fun game to watch, as I've mentioned before. I think it's going to be a game that Alabama should win pretty handily. It might be close early on, maybe to halftime, maybe on into the second half. But I think Alabama will end up pulling away by the end of the game and win by double digits. I think they'll end up covering this line if it doesn't move again through the end of the week. All right. So I'm going to get into picking the bracket, kind of give my thoughts on some of these teams. And as I go through, I'll kind of assess where they're seated and see if it's appropriate, who got the worst draw out of each bracket. Because I find that to be the most fascinating part, is there's always winners and losers in terms of the path to the Final Four. We'll start off in the East bracket, where UConn was the number one overall one seed, and they'll face Stetson in this game. Now, it's not going to take long for me to pick this game. Obviously, UConn is going to be a national championship favorite, should be probably close to a consensus Final Four team, just based off how good they are. But their bracket is fairly easy as well to kind of get through. So I'll take Stetson or UConn over Stetson, the round of 32. Florida Atlantic and Northwestern. One of the more intriguing seeding that I saw in the bracket reveal. Florida Atlantic being an 8 seed is kind of dangerous, just because of Florida Atlantic making the Final Four last year, being the number 8 seed. They did struggle a good bit in conference play this year. They beat Arizona earlier in the conference or non-conference, but overall, Florida Atlantic, I thought, should have been closer to the bubble than what they were. Being an 8 seed is pretty high for me. But Janelle Davis, 18 points per game, and Boo Booey, obviously for Northwestern, is a fantastic player, averaging 19 a game and 5 assists. So it's going to be some great, great basketball to watch in this game. It's going to be fascinating. Overall in this game, I will probably lean Northwestern. These 8-9 games are typically toss-ups anyway. I've watched Florida Atlantic several times this year. They've never blown me away. They've always struggled every time I've watched them. And Northwestern, I feel like guard play is going to be so important, and Boo Booey is going to be a monster in the tournament. I think he's going to have a great first round. Brooks Barnheiser is going to have a great game as well. And give me Northwestern. They've struggled in some of the big games this year. They did beat Purdue, they beat Michigan State and Illinois as well. But they can really score. Defense is pretty solid as well. But give me Boo Booey in the tournament. I want to see them advance. And I think ultimately Northwestern to get by FAU. San Diego State and UAB. So San Diego State was about where everybody thought they'd be seated, around a 5 seed. Some thought they might be out towards the Midwest or West region in Alabama's bracket, but San Diego State's going to be playing in the East bracket against UAB, who ended up winning the AAC Conference Championship Tournament, or Tournament Championship, in their first season in the conference. So San Diego State's another one of those teams that made the Final Four last year. They lost a few key pieces. They come back and go 24-10 overall. You know, they struggled kind of in the conference as well, lost some games. UNLV, Boise State, New Mexico, who's a really solid team in the tournament, we'll cover here in a little bit. But this could be a potential upset. Obviously, the 5-12 upset happens every single year, and it's going to be a trendy pick every single year. You know, Yaxel Lindeberg is going to be a monster, and I cannot wait to watch him play for UAB. If y'all haven't watched UAB play this year, Yaxel is a great, great player. Eric Gaines, probably a familiar name to Alabama fans, played for LSU under Will Wade. Super athletic guard, scores 12 points a game. And if you haven't seen this kid jump, it's an incredible sight to watch. I'm going to go with San Diego State in this game. I think that their defense is going to be too suffocating for them, for UAB. They're going to be able to score enough on offense. And I do think it'll be a fairly close game. I do. So give me San Diego State to go to the round of 32, where they'll face the winner of Auburn, the SEC champions, and Yale, the Ivy League champions. So this is a game where I don't think it'll be close. I think Auburn is just a really bad matchup for Yale, and they got a really good draw in terms of the 13 seeds. Just watching Yale a few times this year, nothing spectacular. Kind of surprised that Princeton went down in the Ivy League tournament, but Yale really hasn't beaten anybody this year outside of the Ivy League, and they really struggled in the Ivy League at times. They struggled with Cornell a couple times, lost to them once, barely beat them at home, lost to Princeton. And outside of the conference, they did play a pretty tough non-conference schedule. They lost at Kansas. They beat or lost at Vermont by one and lost at Gonzaga by 15. But overall, this is a really tough matchup for them. Janai Broome and Jalen Williams should feast. Danny Wolf is a really solid player, but he just doesn't have the toughness and tenacity, I think, to really hang with the front court of Auburn. And while I do not care for Auburn's backcourt to go deep into March, their front court can carry in this game. And I don't think this game will really be close. I don't know what the spread on this game is, but I'd imagine they'll win by 14, 15 points. So give me Auburn in this game. Going down to the 6 seed, BYU against the 11 seed Duquesne. So BYU is a team that has been up and down this year in their first season in the Big 12. Had some really high highs and some really low lows. I was able to watch them several times this year on ESPN. And this is a team where really depended on what game you watched them. There were games that they just disappeared, like when they played at Texas Tech and they lost 81-67. And there's games that they looked phenomenal, where they beat Kansas at Kansas. So which BYU team is going to show up, and is Duquesne able to knock off BYU? This game is going to be played in Omaha, Nebraska, and Duquesne has one player that I really like to watch him play in their conference tournament, which is, his name is Day-Day, and he averages 17 points a game. He's super fun to watch, him and Jimmy Clark. So Duquesne is one of those teams that I thought was seeded way too high, and I was very surprised that they were seeded where they were. It was between Duquesne and VCU in their conference tournament championship, And I felt like a lot of people thought VCU would end up winning, but Duquesne is going back to the tournament for the first time in 50 years. And they were seeded 11th, ahead of teams like James Madison. Heck, our last team we went over, UAB, I thought should have been over Duquesne in terms of seeding, which was really shocking to me. Vermont, I thought, could have been over Duquesne. But here you got Duquesne at 11, which is a pretty good matchup for BYU. So give me BYU to advance to the round of 32 as well. And they'll face the winner of 3-seeded Illinois and 14-seeded Morehead State. Now, obviously, Illinois has the superstar Terrence Shannon, who hit a big shot today in the Big Ten Championship to put them ahead of Wisconsin, where they ultimately ended up winning. Now, Illinois played a really tough non-con schedule and ended up playing that at Tennessee. That was a very good game early on. They split with Michigan State. They won at Wisconsin, beat Wisconsin for the Big Ten Championship. And Morehead State is going to be a trendy pick, I feel like. There's not too many trendy 3-14 seeds, but you listen to some of the national pundits, they try to push a lot of these lower-seeded teams like Morehead State that people have watched maybe once or twice. But Riley Minix is the main reason why Morehead State could be a potential trendy pick. He's a superstar, awesome player to watch, averaging a 20 and 10 for the season. But I just think Illinois is going to be too much for Morehead. I think it's going to be too much Terrence Shannon, and they'll end up defeating Morehead State. Now, Washington State and Drake, this is going to be one of those 7-10 matchups where it's going to be a super close game and you really don't know what to expect. So, starting off with Washington State out of the Pac-12, really didn't know what you were going to get with Washington State. It's kind of came out of nowhere this year. Won at Arizona in one of the funnest games you've seen in a while, which was February 22nd, a few weeks ago. Won 77-74 there, but lost to teams like Washington at home. So, you know, he lost at Colorado, at Utah. They had some really, really bad losses and some really good wins. So it's kind of, they're another one of those teams, like which one are going to show up? Because we've seen kind of both of them. This is going to be one of my trendy upset picks. I think Drake's going to beat Washington State. I think Tucker DeVries is super good. Two-time Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year. They're not great defensively. They're not very big, but they do rebound really well. And if they can score off the first try, then Washington State's going to have a really big problem because they like to offensive rebound. And Drake is a great team to prevent another team from offensive rebounding. Drake just needs to stay out of foul trouble because they're not a very deep team, especially in the front court. But give me Drake as the upset pick, which I don't consider 10-7s real upsets, but for seed purposes, give me Drake. And then finally, to round out the East first round, I'll go Iowa State, San Diego State. I'm not going to spend too much time on this one. I think this one will probably be a blowout as well. I like Iowa State. They're super talented. Keyshawn Gilbert is a great player, a 14-5-5 type of guy. And Iowa State has had some really strong wins this year, holding Houston to 53 points a couple months ago at home, and playing Houston on the road really tough, and then just blew them out in the Big 12 championship game, 69-41. So they're a team that I think can go on a run just because of how talented they are on both ends of the ball. But give me Iowa State over San Diego State. Now let's go to the round of 32. You got UConn, Northwestern. We'll try to speed through this a little bit quicker. UConn, Northwestern. I'm just going to go ahead and put UConn over Northwestern, as I have UConn going to the Final Four. And then San Diego State, Auburn. This should be a really, really not entertaining game, but it should be a great defensive battle. Two really good defenses going at it, and two teams that can struggle offensively when they face good defenses. San Diego State and Auburn, I give me Auburn to go to the Sweet 16 here. I just feel like Jahni Broome is going to be too much for San Diego State to handle. BYU Illinois should be a very intriguing matchup as well. Give me Illinois. I think Terrence Shannon's going to have a really good run in the tournament this year. And then Drake and Iowa State, I'm going to move Drake ahead. So I got the top four seeds going to the Sweet 16 in the East. Give me UConn over Auburn, and give me Illinois over Iowa State, where I think UConn's going to win and go to the Final Four. So kind of vanilla, top four seeds in the East. I just think that all the higher seeds got really good draws on their side of the brackets, and I don't see too many upsets going on in the East bracket. Going across to the South, where Houston is the number one seed in the South bracket, they'll face Longwood. Obviously, I'm going to have Houston beating Longwood here to move to the round of 32. Nebraska and Texas A&M, kind of a funny coincidence here. Nebraska's AD is actually leaving to go take the AD job at Texas A&M. So they got matched together in the men's and the women's NCAA tournament. Very ironic there. I wonder if that was a move made on purpose. But Nebraska and Texas A&M, this is going to be a very, very intriguing game. Texas A&M has kind of got hot here at the end of the year to where they didn't only just sneak into the tournament, they didn't even flirt with the last four in. Play-in or maybe the last four or first four byes. But Texas A&M has a really good backcourt between Wade Taylor and Tyrese Radford, and you know what wins in March. And while Buzz Williams hasn't had much success in March in terms of tournament play outside of the SEC tournament, I think Texas A&M is going to beat Nebraska here in the 8-9. Wisconsin and James Madison. This is going to be a very popular first-round upset among most brackets, because people are going to look at James Madison's record of 31-3, and they're a 12 seed. And then you have five-seeded Wisconsin, who ended up going down in the Big Ten championship to Illinois today in a really close battle. But Wisconsin's a very veteran team. They're super efficient offensively. They do not play defense all the time, so that could really pose problems for them. But AJ Storr is just such a good player overall, and he really carries them on offense. Wisconsin offense will definitely do their part. It's just, can they string enough stops against James Madison, who is a super, super good offensive team, even against good defenses? You know, they beat Michigan State at Michigan State earlier in the year, and that was kind of where everybody's eyes were kind of open to James Madison. So looking at this one to where I'm just kind of stuck and it's a big, big game, or if it's a close game, I'm going to kind of go down to KenPom and see where James Madison's 59th in adjusted offense, 79th in adjusted defense. They play pretty fast at 71 adjusted tempo. And then you go down to Wisconsin's and look at theirs, and they're 13th in offense, 47th in defense, and they play really slow. So it's going to be a battle of tempo here to where James Madison's going to want to kind of speed it up and try to score as much as they can, while Wisconsin's going to slow it down and just play efficient basketball. Now, while this is going to be a very trendy upset, will I go with it? Yes, I will. I'm picking James Madison to beat Wisconsin in the first round. My first 5-12 upset of the tournament so far. And then they'll face the winner of Duke and Vermont. Now, Duke, I think, is slightly overrated. Should they have gotten a 4 seed? To be debatable. You know, they're not a very imposing 4 seed like you would think. They lost their last two games. And it really seems like they just got tired by the end of the year. I mean, they're very balanced offensively, and they'll score, you know, 75, 80 points a game. But if they're not on offensively, if Kyle Filipowski or Jeremy Roach is not scoring, they could lose a game in a heartbeat because their defense is not very good. Vermont's defense is very good. I believe they're top 10 overall. Going down to see, yeah, they're ranked 62nd in KenPom adjusted defense. And while their offense isn't great, it's 159th. They could pose a problem to Duke on defense. And while Duke's defense is pretty solid, ranked 26th in adjusted defense, their offense, while being 7th in adjusted offense, it just comes and goes. It comes in waves. And if that wave doesn't come for a while, then they could be down 10 or 12 in a heartbeat. But I'm still going to take Duke in this game. It should be a fairly close game for, you know, the first half, maybe a little bit longer. Texas Tech, 6th seed against 11th seed NC State. NC State made the run. They won the ACC Conference Championship Tournament. And what a run that was. Kevin Keats saved his job in that tournament. Not only for that, or, you know, winning several games in the tournament, but by winning the tournament outright, he got an extension and a raise based on his contract language. So that's super awesome to see. NC State is very helter-skelter. They don't really have great wins outside of winning in the ACC tournament of beating Duke and North Carolina, both respectively. Outside of that, they kind of struggled against them in the regular season, losing by 15-9, and they don't have great wins. So they started 11-3, then they went 6-11 after that, and then it got hot at the right time. Now, DJ Horn and DJ Burns, the team of DJs can obviously carry them. This could be a potential 11-6 upset, but I really like the teams in the Big 12 this year, and I won't be picking against many of them in the first couple rounds just because I think they're extremely good, extremely tough, and give me Texas Tech over NC State. And then they'll face the winner of Kentucky and Oakland, the 3 seed versus the 14. Thought Kentucky was a little overseeded here. I thought Kentucky should have been closer to the bottom of the 4 line. Now, obviously they're super talented, but they're so Jekyll and Hyde that you don't know what you're going to get from them. Offensively, outstanding. Top 5 offense in the country. Defense, they're worse than Alabama's defense rating-wise, if that tells you anything. They can score 100 in a heartbeat. They can give up 100 in a heartbeat. But in this game, I don't see them giving up, you know, maybe over 75 points. And that should tell you that Kentucky's probably going to win by 15 or 20. Even though I do really like Trey Townsend at Oakland, a potential transfer portal target for a lot of teams, averaging 17-7. Per game, but give me Kentucky over Oakland. And then the final 2 games in the South will be Florida and the winner of Boise State and Colorado. Now, these are 2 teams where you thought they were safe in the tournament. Like, Boise State should have been in an 8-9 matchup, but they ended up being in the 10 seed play-in game, as well as Colorado. Both of these teams I thought were fairly safe in the tournament. Kind of surprising to see them in the play-in. But Florida ended up losing to Auburn in the SEC championship, lost big man Micah Hanlogden to a fractured leg, and it was a brutal injury. Don't go look it up. Don't watch it. It's brutal, and just prayers for him and a speedy recovery. But that's a huge blow to their front court depth. So now they're down to Alex Condon and Hall in the front court, as well as Tyrese Samuel. But it'll be interesting to see who wins this 10-seeded play-in game. Now, I'll pick Boise State to win the play-in game, so Florida and Boise Even if it was Florida and Colorado, I'm still going to pick Florida against either one of them. If it's Boise, it'll probably be a closer game just because I think they're talented enough to give Florida a run. But Florida's going to be a trendy pick to go to the Sweet 16, but they're in a really tough spot being a 7 seed. I thought they might could get up to a 6 seed and face one of these 3 seeds in the tournament and have a chance. But being a 7 seed, they now have to face the winner of Marquette and Western Kentucky. And I'm not going to spend too much time on this. I think Marquette will blow Western Kentucky out of the water and go on to face Florida. So Marquette over Western Kentucky. Now for the round of 32, I have Houston beating Texas A&M in the round of 32. James Madison and Duke. This is a situation where Duke can definitely lose to James Madison. They always have losses like these in the tournament. But give me Duke over James Madison. I think James Madison is going to be two and done in the NCAA tournament. Texas Tech and Kentucky should be a very exciting game, contrasting of styles, where Texas Tech is a really good defensive team and Kentucky can light it up. I think in a tournament type setting, I really like Kentucky to move on. I think, especially after the first round, Kentucky is a very, very tough team to prepare for in the short turnaround. And give me Kentucky's offense and their incredible guard play with Antonio Reeves and Reed Sheppard. And then Florida and Marquette, I hate to go top 4 seeds again in the Sweet 16, but it's really hard just because each of these top seeds, they have such favorable matchups so far in the South and the East. Maybe the other two parts of the bracket will be different. But here I like Marquette over Florida to go to the Sweet 16. And Houston and Duke. I saw that Houston gave Drake, the rapper and singer, a jersey today. And they, you know, the Drake curse. So could this be where Houston trips up? I don't think so. I think Houston will make it to the Elite Eight to face Kentucky and Marquette, where this is going to be a very fascinating game between two teams that can really both score the basketball. And it's so tough. Give me Kentucky to make the Elite Eight, where I think Houston will end up beating Kentucky. They'll be too suffocating defensively and really frustrate Kentucky's guards with guys like Jamal Shedd, where Kentucky will have no answer. All right, so far I have UConn and Houston in the Final Four. Pretty vanilla so far. So let's go down and see if we can find some havoc in the West or the Midwest. Starting with the West, where North Carolina will face the winner of Howard and Wagner. Obviously, I'm picking North Carolina here, not much to discuss. Now, Mississippi State, 8 seed against 9 seed Michigan State. Michigan State was one of the teams that people were wondering if they would make the tournament. They were one of those bubble teams that could have been in the play-in game. They could have been left out, but they ended up being a 9 seed, so they ended up making it fairly easy. Another one of those teams that can pop up every now and then and get a big win, but they really struggled against big-time competition. Now, you always got guys like Tyson Walker and A.J. Hogard, and you got guys that are senior guards, been there, done that. They've been really good for Mississippi State and Tom Izzo, but they have to be really good offensively to win. Their defensive front court, you know, they have size advantage inside, but they're not very mobile. So if you run up against a team that shoots three very well, then they tend to struggle. But this is a Mississippi State team that does struggle to shoot the three. Now they have Tolu Smith inside, who hasn't been as great as what he's been in the past, but they've had freshman Josh Hubbard step up in the backcourt. There's a top 100 recruit that's averaged 17 points a game that can light it up. He's a volume shooter, so if he gets hot early, that he can carry a team. But I'm going to go with Michigan State. I feel like they have the size inside to kind of frustrate Tolu Smith, get him in foul trouble, and Mississippi State won't be able to hit enough shots from deep to beat Michigan State, setting up a really nice blue blood battle in the second round. St. Mary's and Grand Canyon, 5 seed versus the 12. This could be a potential trendy upset pick as well. You got St. Mary's that is a stickler on defense, and you got Grand Canyon, who is one of my favorite teams to watch. They're 53rd in KenPom, and overall they're in the top 65 in offense and defense. And then you got St. Mary's, who is top 20 in KenPom, and then top 50 in both adjusted offense and defense. But they're an elite defensive team, great on the perimeter. They understand angles really well, and they're a team that is carried by their defense. They have a nice offensive or efficient offense, being 45th, but their tempo is 358. They play as slow as anybody in the country, because there's only 362 teams in the country, and they're 358th in tempo. So they run that clock down all the way to the end, and it's just brutal if they do that and end up scoring. It's just so deflating. But I am going to go with an upset pick here in the first round. I'm going to pick Grand Canyon, a team that I've really liked watching this year. They beat San Diego State earlier in non-conference and really had no problem whatsoever in their conference. So give me Grand Canyon. I think that Ty and Grant Foster is someone that can blow up in a tournament and really wreak havoc. The guy that averages 20 and 6. And then they have a really nice complimentary player in Ray Harrison. And Aiden Mahaney for St. Mary's has been injured and not sure if he's going to be where he's at injury wise. So just give me Grand Canyon. I'll take another trendy 5-12 upset in this bracket. And then I already broke down Alabama and Charleston, so I'm going to move Alabama over to making the round of 32 to face Grand Canyon. Clemson and New Mexico. This is going to be a game where I'm going to pick the upset again. So looks like there's going to be some more upsets in the West than what I've had so far. New Mexico is a really, really talented team. The Mountain West, I felt like, got screwed big time seeding-wise in this tournament. I thought they had several teams that were really talented and had great seasons, New Mexico being one of them, and they were an 11 seed. I thought they could have been in that 8-9 matchup. But ultimately, being an 11, that puts a really bad matchup on whoever the 6 is, which is Clemson, who did beat Alabama on the road this year. They had some nice wins at North Carolina back in early February. But outside of that, they really struggled in the ACC play. So give me New Mexico. Give me Jalen House. He's a guard that is really, really good, as well as Jamal Mashburn, that can give Clemson a lot of fits, even though P.J. Hall and Joseph Girard should have a really good game. But I think the backcourt of New Mexico is going to be too much for Clemson. So 11-6 there. And then you got Baylor and Colgate going head-to-head in Memphis. And Colgate could be a potential upset pick over Baylor. Baylor always tends to get clipped in the NCAA tournament early on. But here, I just feel like Baylor is so good offensively. Jacoby Walter and Ray J. Dennis is a lot to handle, especially for a team like Colgate, who isn't really good defensively. overall, really bad offensively, and just doesn't play a style that's going to be able to match Baylor's athleticism and offensive prowess. So give me Baylor to go on to face New Mexico. And then finally, I got Dayton and Nevada. And this is going to be one of those toss-up games to where I have no earthly idea what's going to happen. And Dayton is a team that doesn't score well at all, while Nevada does. So Dayton ranks 18th in adjusted offense, but they don't score the ball. They don't score well on the offensive end. They're very efficient, but they don't score a lot of points. They play a really, really slow tempo, being 337th in the country. While you kind of go down and look at Nevada, and they're top 40 in both offense and defense and play a lot faster tempo. The Mountain West has always been a conference that really struggles in the tournament, and Nevada being a 10 seed goes to show that they didn't really respect the Mountain West overall either. I love Jared Lucas. He's one of my favorite players to watch in the country. I'm going to take Lucas. I think he's going to have a really good game and beat Dayton. So a 10-7 upset there. And I'm going to take Arizona over the surprise of the conference season, Long Beach State, who fired their coach before the conference tournament, let him coach the rest of the conference tournament, and they ended up winning it. How awkward. So let's go into the round of 32, North Carolina and Michigan State. What a great, fascinating second round matchup, where Tom Izzo isn't going up against Roy Williams anymore, but still a fascinating game for brands. It's going to be great television. And while Michigan State, they have the backcourt guys to match up with North Carolina, they don't have the inside presence to match up with Armando Bacot. And it'll be a fascinating game to watch because it's going to be great guard play, and that makes for great television and great games. But I think North Carolina's muscle on the inside is ultimately going to beat Michigan State in that matchup. And then you got Grand Canyon and Alabama. Couldn't ask for a better second round matchup for Alabama facing Grand Canyon instead of St. Mary's, albeit Grand Canyon is a super solid team. I have a hard time not picking Alabama in this game just because of the offense. And I don't think that Grand Canyon's going to be able to score enough points to keep up with them. Now, Grand Canyon obviously has fairly good tempo. They play really well defensively overall. They're going to be a tough matchup for Alabama. But I feel like if Alabama can just win that first game against Charleston, and whoever they play in Grand Canyon or St. Mary's, they're going to be a really tough team to turn around and face one day later. Just because of the style they play, you really can't simulate it in one day's time. You can't really prepare for it. You just have to hope that they struggle offensively. Now, Grand Canyon will probably score a lot of points against Alabama, but I just don't see Grand Canyon stopping Alabama enough to win this type of game. So give me Alabama beating Grand Canyon, going to the Sweet 16 to face North Carolina, which would be an incredible game as well. Baylor and New Mexico. Here's a game where it's going to be a really, really good backcourt game. Ray J. Dennis, Jacoby Walter, Jalen House, Jamal Mashburn. Should be great television. And you know what? I'm going to pick New Mexico. Give me New Mexico over Baylor. I think that the Mountain West is out to prove something this year, and I'm going to have 11 seed New Mexico in my Sweet 16 against the winner of Arizona and Nevada. No, it's not going to be a Mountain West matchup. I'm going to take Arizona to go to the Sweet 16 to face New Mexico. Alabama, North Carolina. This would be a really, really fun, energetic offensive game. It's just Alabama has no answer for Bacot or anybody in the front court for North Carolina. RJ Davis is going to have a field day with Alabama's defense. He'll probably score 30. Armando Bacot could have 15 and 15. It's just going to be one of those games for Alabama to where North Carolina has a week to prepare to face Alabama, which is, you know, a disadvantage for Alabama just because they're better off playing teams in a two-day span when you get to prepare for a team like Alabama. While it's tough, it's a lot easier when you have a week to do it. So North Carolina is a better team than Alabama. I'm not afraid to admit that. North Carolina has a great team. So give me North Carolina over Alabama in the Sweet 16. And then New Mexico, Arizona. This is where New Mexico's run ends. And I have Arizona going on face North Carolina in the Elite Eight, where I have Arizona moving to the Final Four. It's going to be an interesting love affair here in the Elite Eight with Caleb Love, the decorated player from North Carolina who transferred to Arizona. I would love to see this game just for the headlines of Caleb Love facing his old team in the Elite Eight. And it would be so cool to see him get the better of it and move to the Final Four. So I got Arizona moving to the Final Four to face UConn. And then finally, the Midwest bracket, kind of wrapping it up here. Purdue, obviously, they had the loss against 16 seed. Last go around, will it happen again? No, I'm not going to do that. Whoever wins the play-in game in the 16 seeds, Purdue's going to win. Go on to face Utah State and TCU. Another one of those teams that in the Mountain West that I felt like got like a little disrespected. Thought they could be a seed or two higher, being Utah State going up against TCU. Utah State is a team that played really, really well in the Mountain West, which was a really tough conference overall. They're a great inside team. They play well. They shoot really well from inside the arc, but they struggle defensively really bad. They're really good. They're a really good rebounding team. On the defensive end, don't really get any second chance points. They play really, really slow. They don't take hardly any three pointers, which is typically a recipe for not a recipe for success in March. If they can really take over the paint with Greg Osborne and Ian Martinez, they could be a tough out. But TCU is a team, they're very simple. They like to run. They crash the boards. And they're great at getting out on the fast break. They're really experienced. Emmanuel Miller and Jameer Nelson are two guys that I think that can carry this team through the first round and kind of see where they're at in the second. And I'm going to pick TCU in this game to go on and face Purdue in the round of 32. Here is the two matchups back-to-back that were the most fascinating to see live on the selection show. So you had five-seeded Gonzaga, which I did not think they ended up winning their conference, but Gonzaga being a five to where they were before, what was it, not even a month ago, to where people thought they were going to miss the tournament entirely and had to win the WCC to make the tournament, and they ended up all the way at five. So they ended up the same seed as St. Mary's. But they're going to be going up against McNeese State, Will Wade's new team. 12 seed, went 30-3. I mean, they are a fascinating story. They've never been good in college basketball, have no previous history at all. But they're super fun to watch. You know, they're 50th in adjusted offense, 84th in adjusted defense. You go up against Gonzaga's top 10 offense and top 50 defense. It's going to be super fascinating because these 5-12 matchups, well, I've picked two 12s to win so far. McNeese State is a case to where they're a really small school. McNeese really loaded up. They didn't beat anybody in non-conference. that's worth noting. I mean, they beat Michigan, but Michigan was absolutely terrible. They beat UAB back in late November. And while I don't think UAB's great, they did win their conference. But Gonzaga is a battle-tested team. I love Mark Few. He's my favorite coach in the country. He's been my favorite coach in the country for nearly two decades now. So I'm not going to pick the trendy 12 McNeese State over Gonzaga. Would it surprise me if they won? It actually would. I'm not picking against Gonzaga in this game. And they go on to face the winner of Kansas and Samford. Another one of these 12-13 seeds that have the potential to make a lot of noise in the tournament. Now, obviously, Samford is the fourth team from Alabama to make it. They won their conference, and coached by Bucky McMillan, who took over a team that's really, really struggled in basketball for the past two decades. And by putting together, you know, nice freshman classes, really good transfers, built a nice foundation, and now Okorakwo is a fascinating player to watch. And they play a fun style. They like to get up and down. They like to shoot threes. Bucky is a very analytical guy, similar to Todd Golden or Nate Oates. So he kind of goes by that analytical game planning, to where Kansas is kind of banged up. You got Kevin McCullough and Hunter Dickinson, who missed the Big 12 tournament. And they had a really quick exit early on. So how healthy is Kansas? They said both of them are going to play, but how healthy are they? If they get into a running match with Samford, it could make this game very interesting. But I don't think Samford has any match for Hunter Dickinson inside. Kevin McCullough is too much to handle. While Samford might put up a good fight against Kansas and might be, you know, a single-digit game at the end, give me Kansas over Samford. South Carolina, the sixth seed, against 11-seeded Oregon. Now, Oregon is a team that Alabama defeated earlier in the year when they didn't have two or three. I can't remember. It's been so long ago. They did not have Nafali Dante in that game, and then another starting forward for them. They were really banged up, but they were still so good offensively. They were still really good, and they ended up having I believe 91 points scored against Alabama back in right after Thanksgiving. But they've always been a great offensive team, struggled defensively. And then you got South Carolina, that while they've gotten destroyed by Alabama and Auburn this year, I don't know what it is about them facing teams from Alabama, but they are a tough-nosed team, 26-7. They have great wins against Kentucky, at Tennessee, home against Florida, at Mississippi State. Like I said, they struggled. They lost twice against Auburn and once against Alabama, all by 27 or more points. But this is a very balanced team. They don't really go through dry spells very much. They have a good backcourt with Michi Johnson. They got a guy that can step out and shoot the three and do some damage inside with B.J. Mack. So Oregon's going to have the athletic edge in this game. But I hate going against Dana Altman, because he's always had really good success in the NCAA tournament, but Oregon just doesn't take care of the ball well. South Carolina is a great defensive team, and they don't turn the ball over much at all. So give me South Carolina to win this game. Then it goes to Creighton and Akron. Not going to take much time here. I don't think Akron stands much of a chance against Creighton. I just feel like Baylor Shireman and Trey Alexander is going to be too much for the Zips to be able to make a run, so I'm going to take Creighton in this game. That goes down to the bottom half of the bracket where it's going to be Texas. Excuse me. Losing my voice. But Texas and then the winner of Virginia and Colorado State. So I don't really think it matters who wins this play-in, Colorado State or Virginia. I really like Texas and whoever they play. Now, if it's Virginia, that's going to be such a slow-paced game for both of those. Colorado State, I think, would put up the better fight against Texas, and I think Colorado State will actually end up winning that game and make this a really interesting game. But give me Texas overall. I think they'll win that. And then Tennessee and St. Peter's, I'm going to have Tennessee going to the second round in there. Purdue and TCU, it's going to be super fascinating to see how Purdue does in the tournament. I'm not sure how they bounce back from losing to a 16 seed like they did, but going up against TCU, is this where they fall? I don't think so. I think Purdue will end up handling business against TCU. And then Gonzaga and Kansas is going to be another one of those fascinating matchups. The 4-5s always are in the second round. Kansas, Gonzaga. I think Kansas is overrated. Gonzaga is super hot right now. But I don't think Gonzaga is very good. This is a tough one. I'm not going to go back and change it after I make all these picks. So it's going to be one of those where I could go back and forth and change until Thursday morning when the brackets lock. But give me Kansas. I'll go with Kansas. They have too much star power. South Carolina and Creighton. This is a very fascinating matchup as well. I know I say the word fascinating a lot just because there has been some fascinating matchups in this tournament. But South Carolina, Creighton has obviously the talent edge, but talent doesn't always win in the tournament. South Carolina plays a style that could give Creighton a lot of problems. South Carolina is not like UConn at all in terms of talent, but South Carolina does play a style similar to UConn in a sense, to where they do play great defense. They don't turn the ball over. They just don't hurt themselves. That's kind of where I'm getting at. But give me Creighton, and then I'll take Tennessee over Texas. And the old Rick Barnes, old job against his new job. That will be a very good game for TV purposes as well. So you'll have Purdue and Kansas, and I do not like Kansas, and I do not care for Purdue to go far. Give me Kansas in this game, and then give me Creighton in the game against Tennessee. I think Tennessee is going to struggle again, hit their typical wall in the Sweet 16. I really like Creighton's team this year as well. In the game, you know, they made the Elite Eight last year. They bring pretty much everybody back. I think they're going to be ready to go to the Final Four as I pick Creighton to go to the Final Four. So I have 2 1-seeds in Houston and UConn. I have Arizona and the 2-seed, and then Creighton as the 3-seed. So obviously, I don't think there's going to be any Cinderellas, which means that every single team in the Final Four this year is going to be a Cinderella. Give me UConn going to the national championship against Houston, the game that everyone wants to see, in my opinion. Why did I say that everybody wants to see, in my opinion? It's the game I want to see. How about I say it like that? So UConn and Houston in the championship game, where I think UConn is going to go back-to-back for the first time since Florida did it with Billy Donovan, and they're going to win the championship. How many points do I think is going to be scored? Not a whole lot. I'll say 135 points will be scored. It'll be something like a 70-65 type of game. Great defense. efficient offense. UConn is going to be my national title. I've loved UConn all year. UConn's just been a fascinating team. So how many double-digit seeds did I pick to win in the first round? I always like going and looking at this. So I had nobody, or I had one. I had Drake in the East. I had Grand Canyon in the West. I had New Mexico in the West. I had Nevada in the West. So that's four. I had James Madison in the South. That's five. And I had nobody in the Midwest. So I had five double-digit seeds make the second round, which you know what's going to happen. You know the upsets are going to happen. And I'm fascinated to watch them. I think the ones that I'm kind of underplaying is going to be the Gonzaga McNeese and then the Kansas and Samford. Those two games could easily either one of those be upsets. Oregon could upset South Carolina. I just didn't have it in me to go with them. Vermont, Duke, maybe. I would, obviously, the Morehead State over Illinois. I just know there's going to be a 14 over a 3, and there's probably going to be a 15 over a 2 somewhere, but I'm not seeing it. That's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. So many things that you happen that you don't foresee. So I'm going to submit my bracket here. I appreciate everyone kind of following along with the bracket. It's been an hour podcast. I haven't put a podcast over 30 minutes in probably over a year at least. A year, maybe 2 years. So this has been a wonderful podcast and episode. Super jacked for the NCAA tournament. Everybody, if you feel a little ill going into work or the day before work on Thursday or Friday, go ahead and call in. Put in your notice. Don't go to work. Just stay home and enjoy some great college basketball. But I appreciate everyone listening to another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Harper, head basketball analyst of Tide Illustrated of the Rivals Network, at Harper Nation on at Harper Nation 24 on Twitter for all your Alabama basketball news and updates. Thank you again for listening. Please like and subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you listen to. And I will post another episode after Alabama's game on Friday. It's Friday evening. Alabama plays Charleston at 6:30 Central Time on True TV. Until next time, I appreciate everyone listening. Adios.